What I'd like to do tonight is I'd like to do a devotion directed particularly to the 12 and under crowd. So if you're not a teenager yet, I'd ask you to pay attention and listen, because I'm going to try to talk to you tonight. That doesn't mean that everybody else doesn't listen, but you can. I want to talk on a message just much similar to what you just heard Brother Jeff Johnson speak. And interestingly enough, the material I got, I borrowed from another Jeffrey named Jeff Pollard. And he did a series to the children in his church. And he told me I could take his material and use it, so I wanted to do that tonight. And I've been going through the Gospel of John with some of the young people on every other Thursday at the house. And the Gospel of John is really powerful. And of course, John 17 is where I want to look at. So if you're 12 and under and you've got a Bible or a New Testament, or you look along with Mom and Dad and look in John 17 and look at verse 3. John 17, verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now, who wrote this? Okay, well, the Bible tells us a little title there, John. It's John's gospel. He was an apostle. And Jesus is the one who spoke these words. And why did John write this gospel? Well, he tells us in the end of his gospel in chapter 20. You keep your finger in John 17. I'll just read it. But in 20, verse 31, he said, "These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name." And the life that this apostle John is talking about is eternal life. Now, some things, children, some things are hard to believe, aren't they? I mean, Mommy and Daddy and Grandpa and Grandma, sometimes we say things that are just, they're hard. You know, for example, that word, eternity. You know, you think about that. Like saying God with no beginning and no end. You know, that's hard to understand. And I want you to understand tonight. And John, who wrote this, he wants you to understand it. Jesus wants you to understand. The problem is, no matter how simply I or any other man may speak, God has to help you understand. God has to give you that. And even that is hard to understand. But He must help you. So some of these things will be hard to understand. For example, I want you to know God. I want you to know God, but I've never seen God. I've never touched Him. I've never smelled Him. I've never heard Him the way you hear me right now, or you hear somebody, your neighbor. I've never heard God like that. In fact, in the beginning of John's Gospel, in the very beginning, in his first chapter, in verse 18, he says, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him." So, how can I know God, or how can you know God? This is hard to understand sometimes. And I know that as adults, a lot of times we may say these things quickly and just throw them out there, and sometimes we even have to slow down to try to think about that. What how do we do this? Well, first of all, let me say that there are three ways to learn about God. Now, this is in addition to those tools that Brother Jeffrey told us this afternoon. The Spirit, faith, and love. Yeah, I've got also some things here that I find in John's Gospel, and three ways to learn about God. And you might already know these. And it's God's creation, God's book, the Bible, and God's Son. Now, the creation, we talk about the trees and the flowers, the mountains, the waters, and all these things. So we can look and we can see somebody had to put this together. We call him a creator. But still, you know, it's, you think about his creation. Have you heard of China? I mean, in school, you've probably heard of China, right? Okay. Have you ever been there? Probably not. So have you ever seen it? How do you know China's really there? Now, I know mommy, daddy, or your teacher, they've told you that, or they've showed you a globe, and they said, this is China, or on a map. But have you ever felt the wind blowing? Sure, you felt the breeze, right? You ever seen the leaves blowing in the trees? You ever seen the clouds being blown through the sky? Saw some of that today. But let me ask you, children, now think about what I'm going to say. Have you ever seen the wind? Have you ever seen the wind? All right, look back at John 17:3 again. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. How can we know God if we can't see him? Well, now, another apostle, the apostle Paul, he wrote some other books in the New Testament. One of them is the book of Romans. And in the first chapter, in Romans 1:20, he says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And then the psalmist writes in Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. So we've got this in the Bible telling us that the creation shows us a God. In Romans, Paul tells us that no one can say, I didn't know there was a God. No, he says, you can look out there and you can see that somebody, somewhere put this together. The creation has a creator. His name is God, Jehovah. And so Paul says, you can't say that I didn't know there was a God. But the problem here is Jesus says, eternal life is knowing God, not just knowing that there is a God. Now, did you follow that difference? I'll say it again. That Jesus says eternal life is knowing God, not just knowing that there is a God. Okay? Let me put it this way. Children, do you know who the President of the United States is? Have you ever met the president? No. You ever been to his house? No. But you know, we can know that someone lives without ever knowing him in that sense. We can know that there is someone. We can tell that there's a creator. That's what Paul says. That's what the Bible tells us. But that alone doesn't mean that we know him, that we know the Creator. Knowing that there is a God does not mean that we know God. You understand that, children? Because that's a hard one, even sometimes for big people to understand. Remember, Jesus said eternal life is to know God. How do you know Jesus said that? Well, it's in the Bible. And that's the second way that we can know God. It's in the Bible. The Bible is God's book. Now, we cannot know God the way He really is without reading and believing His Word, the Bible. Paul, that other apostle, Paul says, in another book that he wrote in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I bet you have that memorized. But what does Paul mean by inspiration? That's a big word. Simply put, it means that God helped men to write down what God wanted people to know. Okay? So that means when we read the Bible, we're really hearing the thoughts of God, the Word of God. We're hearing His voice through the Bible. Now, if you still have your finger in John 17, just look over a few verses and look at verse 17 of John 17. And Jesus is still speaking. He says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." God never lies. It's important, children, to read and study the Bible. Because by knowing God's word, by knowing the Bible, we can know Jesus Christ. And by knowing Jesus Christ, we can have eternal life. Because the Bible tells us, and this is God's word, and God's word is truth. He doesn't lie. The Bible tells us that Jesus is God and that Jesus is God's Son. That's the third way we can know God. The whole Bible is about Jesus. In Luke, another writer of the New Testament, in chapter 24 of Luke 44, he said, Jesus is speaking, it says, "And he said unto them," Jesus is speaking to two men on a road, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Jesus said that all these Old Testament verses and all these things back here were written about Him. In the Old Testament, God promised to send someone to save His people, to save God's people from their sins. Uh-oh. What is sin? Now that's another word that gets thrown around, you know, places like camp and church, probably at home. What is sin? Again, simply put, it's the bad thoughts, the bad words, and the bad deeds that we do. Now, the someone that God promised to send to save people from their sins is Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you something real hard to understand, children. And this is even hard for mommy and daddy to understand. Jesus is God. And Jesus became a man. That's hard to understand. Now, here's something even harder. And Jesus became a man to do something that God cannot do. Hear what I just said? Jesus became a man to do something that God cannot do. Now, do you know what that is? Die. God cannot die. That's hard. But you see, these are the things that we believe. We believe these things. And Jesus never sinned. He did not deserve to die. Another hard thing to understand. Now I want you to listen. Listen carefully, children. Jesus died in the place of bad people like you and me. But the Bible says God made Jesus alive again. Here's a few more hard things, but I want you to listen. The Bible says anyone who believes that Jesus did this and that Jesus is God's Son will have his sins forgiven. God will forgive all the bad things you'll do. God will send the Holy Spirit to change your heart, and you will live forever in heaven with Him. Four things will happen to you. Now listen, four things will happen to you if God's Holy Spirit changes your heart. You want to know kind of a measurement, thermometer, kind of a guide. These things you can find. First of all, you'll believe in Jesus, and you'll believe that Jesus is the Christ. And that means He was that one that God said would come to save His people from their sins. And two, God will forgive you of all the bad things you've done. We call that forgiveness of sins. And then three, the Holy Spirit will live in you forever. And four, you will know God and His Son Jesus forever and ever. This is what Jesus is praying about in John 17:3 when He says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank You this evening, Lord, that we can gather once again, Father, in this place of refuge and safety, Father, where we have the liberty to hear Your Word, to hear it preached, to hear it taught faithfully, Father. We thank You for Your goodness and mercy. And Lord, we pray. We pray for the little ears, little eyes, and hearts that are here tonight. Father, that You would be pleased. Help them understand. Give them the ability to believe, even tonight. They might know Thee, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom You sent. We ask it in His name. Amen.